Everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the global light here. We got a lot going on here on planet Earth today. Today we're going to work with a couple different things. We've got, of course, we've got Allison coming in with her astrology report, and we've got Meg coming in with an incredible piece about tension that I think you're all going to like here at this point. We'll have two channels today. The first one will be here in just a couple minutes, and the second channel will be toward the end of it will be the last piece that we do here today. We're going to start the first one with basically the healing circle that we like to work with. So we'll invite you to put anything in the healing circle that you'd like as far as yourself. If you have someone else who you want to bring to the healing circle, or you want to put their energy into the healing circle or use it in that way, it's best to ask them. It's not going to do any harm if you don't ask them, but it has a lot more effect if they're a part of the process. So if you have permission to put them in there, it simply means it's going to work a lot better for them. So we welcome you today to do that. We've got a lot going on here on planet Earth. Don't forget the beauty. It's one of the main keys that the group is going to talk about today over and again, is the beauty, the incredible beauty that we have going on our planet. Wherever you are, you're changing seasons. If you're down in the southern hemisphere, you're changing into winter, which is another beautiful area. If you're in the upper hemisphere, you're going to be turning into spring like we are here in Las Vegas. So welcome today. We're all going to move in this together as best we can to kind of work with this whole process today. So glad you're here today. We will bring this over. I'm going to get situated here so we don't have to move as much. And like I said, we've got a lot of things going on. We'll start right off the bat with coming into that. But I want to start before we do anything with just a little bit of conversation about what happened 2 days ago. 2 days ago, we had an Earth overview series. This is the 2 hour segments that we come in, which is kind of interesting because getting the group used to a 2 hour segment is not easy to do. They want to wrap up after they finish their first channel or something. So anyway, they dropped quite a bit of stuff in yesterday's, and although they didn't go into detail about every piece, they did drop some very important pieces in that we have. I can't say we've never put it out before, but we've never put it out in this way before. They talked about the three sisters, which we had talked about in the very first book, in the very beginning of this work, the three sisters of Venus, Earth, and Mars, and how they work together to help form life and to help grow many forms of life, not just human, but many forms of life, and how they work, the three sisters work together in many different areas. Fascinating things took place there. There was originally to be four sisters. Yeah, there's a story about that the observer wants to tell, and he also wants to take us around the universe. He wants to show us how other games work. We know that we're the only game of free choice, and we know that we don't really know what that is because we have it. So we don't have those contrasts in that way. But I will say that he wants to take us around and show us many different games that are going on and basically what their main concerns are. Now, there's no game like Planet Earth. There's none that have quite the same attributes, and they're all a little bit different anyway. They're all meant to learn different parts, to stretch out into different areas entirely. So it's going to be fun. We'll be going that's the Earth Overview series next month. That is the two-hour session we'll be doing. And then, of course, on Friday, we're going to be not Friday, next week. I think it's on Tuesday. We start the next series of the ESS. The empowerment stream is coming up. And in that one, we're going to be working with fifth dimensional bodies. We're going to be working with several different aspects of what the body is going to look like as we evolve. They keep talking about this 80-20% and reversing it to where we have 20% of physicality and 80% of our spirit shining through. What will that look like? And what changes do we have to go through? And that's coming up next week. So we'll be starting the 3 day session and the 4 day session with the special access day. So kind of how that whole thing works out. So we are so excited about, we've got so many things going on here at Espavo, I have to tell you that. You see the presentations. You see it when we change something big like the backgrounds or growing the beard or something of that nature. But for the most part, we have some fairly major changes that are going on with Espavo, having to do with our technology, having to do with this empowerment stream. Group gave me the idea of the empowerment stream a while back, and ever since we've been trying to build the technology that actually does exactly what we want it to do. We're getting very close. We're getting very close, and we're all excited about it. So thank you all for being a part of this grand experiment. I do think it's working out the way the group had originally intended. So we just have to get the technology on board, and we'll bring a few Atlanteans on board to kind of help with that, and we'll figure that out. The group had some really fascinating things to say about Atlantis the other day. I wasn't expecting that. I knew where we were going. I had slides prepared, but I was not expecting the Atlantean turn that they took, talking about the Atlanteans, talking about Henry Ford being an Atlantean, that they talked about. They dropped some big pieces. So anyway, well, we will go forward with that too. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's up there, and of course it's available right now. It is a paid seminar, but sometimes that works well. Welcome today. Glad you're all here. Hope you're all safe and comfortable and in a good energy. We have people all over the world that are connecting with us in different ways. Of course, Barb and I have had the privilege of having our books translated into 14 different languages. That opened the door for us to be able to travel, to be able to get to know people in different countries, to be able to travel to those countries and be able to see people and meet people and so forth, to be able to have that happen. It was absolutely astounding. And although I'm not traveling now, there may come a time where I put that back on the schedule. We'll have to wait and see. But right now is one of the main things the group gave me in the very beginning of this work is they said, "You're going to be doing these seminars." And I'm thinking, okay, like Lee Carroll, these really big. And they said, no. They said, you're going to end up touching people in some very unusual ways that will travel, that will literally plant in a few perfect seeds that will awaken and travel in different ways. So one of the things they told me was, number one, it must be in accord with the people grounding the light in that area. Now, what that meant to me was that I needed to involve the local light workers. Real simple, which we did. That's who hosted us in all these different places, not only throughout the world, but in different countries or different states in the United States as well. And that's basically one of the things they did. The other thing that they said about all of this, it's got to come together easily. If you find yourself pushing the river, stop what you're doing. It means that something's blocking the way that you can't see. And you can either honor it or you can push past it and pay the consequences later sometimes. So I've learned to do that. And right now, even though we have tried to put together several opportunities to travel or start moving a little bit, bring the family back together in person, which is something we're all anxious to do. It simply has been blocked. I will tell you, there's a lot of things that are just restricting it right now. But if you are one of the people that used to come to our events all the time, we're working on it. I will tell you, we are absolutely working on it. So we'll get there eventually. The technology will come up. Right now, we're seeing massive COVID-19 in China. China does not have the vaccination rates. I know there's people on all sides of this equation, but from my perspective, this is very real and very dangerous. We're going to send some energy to China today, along with everything else, just the people of China. Let's stay out of the politics with all of it and just talk people to people. I think we'll end up with a lot better results and a lot more effective results that way. So welcome today. Welcome, light workers. We're here today to move through quite a range of things that we're going to be doing. So welcome aboard. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop into channel here in a second. I'm going to bring this little screen over here. So yeah, that'll work out well. A spa, everybody. Take a couple deep breaths and join me in just a second. Thank you. Greetings, dear ones. I am Observer. I join you this day with great pride, for there are things moving on your earth that you may not be familiar with. There's quite a lot that's taking place right now. It's an exciting time to be on planet Earth, and your space has been reserved. So you're going to see much of this moving very quickly now. So brace yourself, get ready, and enjoy the ride. Above all, know that this is a beautiful game. Now, you're used to playing games where nobody could get hurt. It's a little different game than all of that. But if you understand that you're playing a part, and that part can have more effect than you could possibly know, you're onto something. You know, the scientist is going to be coming in fairly soon to explain a little bit about the science of physics at the SAOTO. And how things are quite a bit different in the higher ranges as you step into this higher vibrational state. It's a magical time on planet Earth, actually, to do all of it. So no, you're not alone. And yes, there is quite a lot of chaos on planet Earth. But in some ways, dear ones, you could almost consider that to be a distraction. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on your heart. Keep your eye on the magnetic energies of planet Earth, and we'll work together to work with that. So right now, let's form the healing circle. Let's connect. Take a breath. Bring your hands out. If there's someone in the room, take their hands. Good. Feel the energy moving in from the left side and going out the right side. Big circle throughout the globe, going through your body and crossing your heart centers as it does. Every time it crosses your heart, feel the magnetism increase and feel your flavor being put on that energy as it now goes out through the right hand. Breathe deep, dear ones. Connect to every part of that energy and know that you're on the right track. Excellent. So now take three deep breaths in. Excellent. And out. In and out. And one more very deep breath. And out. Excellent. Well done, dear ones. We'll be bringing you into a healing circle in just one moment. We have one thing we need to check very quickly. Yes. So feel that connection. Feel that light. Feel the love. And one of the things we're going to ask you to do is to step into the healing circle if you wish to receive this healing yourself. If you wish to put someone you care about in there, please feel free to do so. Know that it has much more effect if they're aware you're doing it and have given them permission. And if not, you're placing them in there for you, which is okay too. You have a need for their healing. All of it is perfectly fine. So take a breath, dear ones, and know that you're in the right place at the right time. And for those of you who have stepped forward into the healing circle, open your heart. And as difficult as it is to be fully seen, let down that protective barrier for just a moment. Know that you're safe in an environment of love and family. And let that unconditional love move through your body right now, straightening out some of the jagged lines, some of the challenges of it. So many beautiful different ways. Breathe deep, dear ones. Deep breath, and let it out. And one more time, in and out. And again, feel that beautiful energy circling around. And as it moves through your body, feel a little resistance. It's taking all those jagged lines that you've stored in your energy field, all those little moments where you had to absorb some pain or you had to absorb something. Let us help you clear that right now. Excellent. And all it takes from you is a willingness to let it go. Yes, there is a comfort in pain, strange as it may sound. People get familiar with it. They get comfortable with it. They get into a bodysuit that actually holds the pain. It's easy to do. Don't judge yourself if you are one of those people. But no, these times are new. You're a new energy in a new world. And it is literally starting to anchor in new ways. And you have an opportunity. You deserve to feel well. Even in the physical body and the emotional body, you deserve to be happy, no matter what's happening in the world. In reality, those are the reasons you put yourself here, so that you could be here right now. And take a deep breath. And as you let it out slowly, forgive the pain that was caused when you started breathing this in. And welcome it. Welcome the straightening of those kinked lines. Feel the energy flowing smoothly now. And once again, bring it in through the left-hand side of your being and take it out through the right as it moves through the heart. Put your energy on it and create something magical. Well done, dear ones. Yes. Your healing circle sometimes builds up too much energy. And that's perfect because you can release it into that energy field now. Well done. We're going to take you a little further into this at this moment, because there are beings all over this globe right now that are searching for healing in different forms, whether it be healing having to do with the physical body, the mental body, everything except for the spirit. The spirit is perfect, so it never needs healing in that fashion. But the way you interpret the spirit and the way you express the spirit through the body sometimes does. So we're going to bring you a little further in this time. Ask you to go very deep within your being. Pay attention to your breathing. Know whether you're breathing in, breathing out. Closely watch it for a moment. And now, while you're still paying attention to that, see if you can feel your heartbeat. See if you can feel that connection at that point. Good. Well done. Harmonize those two rhythms. Well done. Things are starting to flow now. Feel the flow going through your heart again, coming in through the left side and out the right. Feel how it has changed in just those moments. The purity of that energy as it now goes through your heart is even more magical than it was before. Well done, dear ones. Well done. And now slowly release the energy. You've been running through, holding all those hands, moving that energy through your being. Let it go now. Find yourself alone in the energy flow again. Only this time, you've built up the energy. It's stored, and you can walk with it. And furthermore, not only is it healing energy for you, but everything you come across, everything you touch, every time you leave that trail of light behind you, it has that healing energy in it. So become aware of the magicians that you are and the abilities that you have to heal the earth. Take a deep breath and release it all. Well done, dear ones. And with that, we leave you for a short time. Scientists of the heart will come in before long. take you through the rest of the journey of the day. It's a magical time on Earth, and you are right on time. Welcome home, dear ones. Welcome home. It's with the greatest of honor that we ask you to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another at every opportunity and play well together as you create this beautiful new game. Spavo, dear ones. I am Observer, and I do like to watch. Spavo.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be here with you on the Global Light Broadcast for May. Here we go. So what I want to talk about this month is, how do we keep our footing? How do we keep our balance and still manage to care? How do we deal with stress and burnout? It seems as though everyone, and we don't speak in absolutes, but it certainly seems like everyone I talk to, every client I work with, every friend that I have, is experiencing some level of stress and even burnout right now. We've had two constant years of stress, haven't we? Whether it's been about politics, partisan politics, plagues, extreme climate changes and subsequent elevated fires and floods and record-setting storms causing catastrophic tornadoes that recently came through the U.S. In addition, we have a war that's currently playing out, threatening global destabilization on the planet, along with continued COVID variants. I don't know if you saw this on your news, but I recently saw that in Shanghai, China. Shanghai is the most cosmopolitan city in China, with a population of 25 million people, and they are now going into their second week, almost 2 weeks, of lockdown. And lockdown, they have a zero COVID policy, so lockdown is serious. I saw a video of robotic, it looks like a dog, walking through the streets, and it's projecting the instructions. Drones are flying over with announcements: stay in your home, keep your doors locked. They have chained apartment buildings. Literally, you cannot come out of your dwelling. And people are yelling from their balconies. They're screaming. Some of them are saying that they are going mad, literally going mad. They are saying that they are starving. Supplies are not getting to them. This is very, very dangerous, high levels of stress to endure. Tuesday morning here in the U.S., in New York City, there was a mass shooting on a subway train that was fully populated at 9 o'clock in the morning. 10 people were shot. It was very reminiscent to me of the Boston bombing marathon, because the manhunt ensued. These are high levels of stress, and we're watching the news, or when we're discussing it, our bodies go into stress. And that's what I want to talk about, because what happens when we go into stress, our bodies actually go through hundreds of different responses. So if we look at our DNA, if we look at how we're wired, hundreds of years ago, we were tribal, right? We were clan mentality. That meant we had a clan leader, the authority figure. So say, for example, someone in the clan reports that there's a tiger. And everyone goes into stress because they know, we all know immediately, we're not safe. Our safety is in jeopardy. So what happens in our body when we feel we are not safe, or that our safety is in jeopardy? Our subconscious mind access opens up, and it waits for instruction from the authority figure. That authority figure then said, run, tiger, run, hide. That's our instruction. Our bodies then shunt all of the blood flow away from our ability to think, from our higher thinking mind. This is not a time to problem solve. This is a time to immediately get to safety. We are not able to digest food. This isn't time to eat a sandwich. So think about that. The body takes all of the resources from the digestive system and sends it to the heart and the big muscles. So if you're watching the news and eating your dinner. You're in a stress response without the ability to digest your food as you eat your food. This causes indigestion, bloating, inflammation, all these other things that research has shown, because you are not in a state of resource for digestion. You are in a state of stress. Same thing, the blood is shunted away from the reproductive system because it's not time to procreate, it's time to run and hide. It is also shunted away from our immune system. So we do not have healing mechanisms at play. So 2 years of consistent stress, if we are not learning how to shift our body into parasympathetic drive, into the resources for healing and thinking, you start to see what happens. We progress, right? We break down, and that heads into burnout. So think about that for a minute. Some of these mass shootings, the aggression, what's happening, the escalation that's happening in the world right now that everyone is feeling. Think about what's happening on an individual level in your body, right? You go into a state of stress, the blood flow is absolutely shifted and taken away from all of these other resources, from the immune system, reproductive system, digestive system, and higher thinking mind. And what happens? Your cortisol levels shoot up, your insulin shoots up, your adrenaline shoots up, and in that state of stress, the projection comes out as volcanic, doesn't it? We start to see what's actually happening, what's making sense of it. So what happens as we begin to enter stages of burnout? I was reading a report last week that psychology professors and psychotherapists agreed upon, and they were talking about the three dimensions of burnout. And I love that they call them dimensions versus stages. I'll refer to them as stages. And that is because we are dimensional beings, aren't we? Even though we are living in a polarized world of yes and no and right and wrong, we are nuanced beings. These are complicated conversations. The propaganda machines are in full flow. There is a lot going on in the world that needs middle ground, conversation, trying to find ways to talk to each other versus convince each other of anything. And we all likely need to be more graceful at that. But as we move past that, we shift into these levels of burnout that have nuanced effects. So it's not just a simple response, which is why they're called dimensional, because each of us responds differently, and there's different levels to that. One person may be feeling exhausted, but your exhaustion may be different than my exhaustion. They are dimensional, right? And they're very personal. So the first stage of burnout is the exhaustion dimension. And they describe that as feeling worn out, the loss of energy, depletion, and fatigue. How many people can relate to that right now? Some level of exhaustion. Stage two is what they call the cynicism dimension. And just like it sounds, this was originally called depersonalization because this study was mainly done on human services occupations. So nurses, doctors, vets, frontline workers, anything with human services, they have been under an extraordinary amount of stress, and more so in the last 2 years. So the cynicism dimension is described as negative or inappropriate responses and attitudes towards clients, a level of irritability, loss of idealism, that's important, and withdrawal. We start to pull back. And as we retreat and pull back, if we don't shift into parasympathetic, if we don't start to get some resources to ourselves, then we progress. And we progress into the third stage. And the third stage is the inefficacy dimension. And that was originally called reduced personal accomplishment. Inefficacy meaning we become ineffective. How is that? It's described as reduced productivity. So we have less motivation, less drive, or capability. Now, capability is a really important word to hypnotherapists, because as a hypnotherapist, I know that what you believe, right? Beliefs are just ideas that we begin to believe are true. When we take that as a truth, that becomes programming. And that can work for us or against us. Negative beliefs shut down our access to capabilities, right? If we don't believe we're capable of something, right? If we have a belief that that's too hard, we don't feel capable of achieving it. So it absolutely blocks our access to capability. And in hypnotherapy, we use hypnosis as a vehicle to drop the brain waves from alpha down, or from beta down into alpha, so that we have access to the subconscious mind. Subconscious mind opens up. It's then allowing room for instruction. What happens is it then compares against its negative programming. And we always keep our negative programming near the surface. Why? Because the subconscious mind's job is to keep us safe. Therefore, you keep that closest. So how we perceive the world gets run past our subconscious programming that's dominant, and then we then determine what we're capable of. So beliefs and capability lock together. And if we have positive beliefs, if we then believe that we are powerful and we are worthy and we are loving and we are capable and we are here with purpose and we can live a joyful life, if we start to believe these things, then that opens up the doors to capability. That gives us access to being capable of creating all of it. That drives, right? Those beliefs drive our emotions, that which drive our behaviors, our capabilities, and that creates the results. So they are all interwoven. When we no longer believe that we are capable, when we reach the third dimension of burnout, that's when major depression sets in. That's when we feel this absolute inability to cope. We completely dissociate from life. We feel powerless, don't we? So that's what I want to talk about. What do we do about that? How can we start to bring resources to ourselves to keep our footing and still care about what's going on in the world, to not advance into burnout? The first resource is to become really honest with yourself about your own vulnerabilities. We need to take that camera lens off of the world and the politics and the other people and the judgments about who's doing what right and who's doing things wrong. Right, wrong, right, wrong, polarization. And we need to turn that camera lens around and put it on ourselves. And we need to look at what we call, we all have them, our dirty little secret. We call it a personal lie in hypnotherapy because it's a lie, but we believe it. And if we believe it, then it's a truth, isn't it? And it stops us from being capable of moving past it if we don't believe we're capable of it. So it all comes back to, what's our personal lie? Now, how do we actually even determine our personal lie? Well, as we talk about perceiving the world and comparing it to our programming, there's what we call that critical factor you've heard me talk about before. That's the analyzer. That basically is this mechanism within our brain that takes in data, compares it to our negative dominant programming. Why? Because we have all the positive memories too, but the negative stay dominant. Why? To keep us safe. Tiger, run. We keep that safe. Tigers mean we're not safe. We keep that dominant. It's right there. So that if we're walking down the street and see a tiger, ooh, we've got programming right there that says, tiger, not safe, run. So that mechanism itself, that association mechanism, is born between at 7, and it matures between 7 and 11. And you've heard me say this before, think about teenagers, everything becomes a negotiation, right? Because they begin to associate the data they're bringing in with their programming. So we all have programming. Why? Because between birth and 7, everything is going straight into our subconscious mind and becoming programming, becoming beliefs. We are not associating yet. And that was built so that we were taken care of. Because a 2-year-old can't manage their own needs, right? We need our authority figures to provide us with our needs. So we literally are just open for instruction. Everything comes in and creates programming. So to walk around in a world pretending that we're perfect, pretending that we're okay, there's this level of shame if you were to admit a vulnerability. So we are wired not to admit it. social media is set up so that you have, perfect lips, perfect face. If not, you can use an app, you can change your skin, you can do all, because we're always trying to cover up this personal lie. And yet, if we became honest, honest about it, and really real with ourselves, we can begin to bring resources to it. And how we do that is we start to look. We look at our programming. What do I really believe about myself that makes me feel so powerless in the world and ineffective? And as we start to look at that, we start to realize that as we acknowledge it, we can bring some resources to it. We can recognize it's not true. We can then begin to program something different. And we can start to let go and collapse some of that programming. As a result, that opens up our capabilities, doesn't it? For example, if you were raised, because not everyone had perfect parents, right? There's no such thing, by the way. But even if we had a great childhood and felt extraordinarily loved, we still had experiences where we got hurt. Maybe you were made fun of at school, or maybe, somebody teased you or you were bullied. We all have negative programming, all of us, every single one of us, and some much deeper than others. I mean, for example, if you grew up in an environment that your parents weren't capable authority figures and you had to take care of them, or maybe you didn't have parents, you grew up in the system or in foster care, or you had other guardians and those guardians weren't the best role models for you, then you have programming. What you learned, you became, that was empath training. When you don't have a safe environment growing up, you become an empath. You learn to read the room and you know what everyone's thinking and feeling if you're safe, right? Because this is always about your safety. And you learn in turn how to respond. You know how to take care of them, you know how to respond, you know how to deal with it. And so as a result, you become this sensitive superpower that has a vulnerability that isn't aware of that vulnerability, that becomes exhausted from being around people all the time and feeling everything that they're feeling and justifying it by withdrawing and stepping away from everything because we just can't cope. It's just too much out there. You start to see how ineffective that becomes. When instead, if we can really become honest with that vulnerability and see, then the second resource is once you find the vulnerability, ask what you're getting. What are you getting from it? Because this is where it gets tricky. We have learned to justify it. I am this way because. And there's the judgment. Because they did this, they did that. I was raised this way, this happened to me. That is not to negate any of those things. Those things were all important. But at some point, as adults, we must take responsibility for it because they are not still doing that. We then continue to do that to ourselves by holding on to those judgments. Right? Doesn't mean you have to walk into forgiveness. We don't go from 0 to 100, but you do have to look at this is why I'm vulnerable because this happened to me and it made me feel this way. Made me feel what? Unloved, unworthy, not good enough. Name it. Now, I still see the world the same way. Ooh, why? Because that's how I'm wired. That's my programming to keep me safe. Okay, but what are you getting out of it? And a lot of times we'll find that something that we call a negative payoff in hypnotherapy. We talk about negative payoffs a lot. Again, no judgment. We leave the judgment at the door. We just look honestly at what am I getting out of that? Maybe that habit and pattern allows me to retreat and go spend time by myself that I normally wouldn't get otherwise. And I love that time. I cherish it. Ooh, so there's a little payoff then, right? There's a payoff for that. If you were to think about a smoker who had a hard time giving up smoking, and the reason why is because the only time that they were able to get away from coworkers or a toxic work environment or a really busy, chaotic home was when they got to go outside for a smoke and they got 5 minutes alone, that's a payoff. So we have to get honest about what our vulnerability is, what our personal lie is, and if there's any payoffs in continuing to tell that story that way. Because if we are in burnout and we are telling that story, we are not giving ourselves the resources to be healthy, joyful, and effective. It's not working. It's meeting a need, but it's meeting a need in a negative way, if you followed that. So, first resource, where's your vulnerability? Second, is there anything you're getting out of it that you can be really, really honest about? Because the moment you start to see the payoff, we can start to meet that need in a healthier, more positive way. Another resource, Stop taking technology to bed. Your technology has no business in your bedroom, none whatsoever. If that is the last thing you look at before you go to sleep, you are not setting yourself up for restful, rejuvenated sleep. And that is the last resource, sleep. If you are waking up to an alarm clock and not on your own, that is your body telling you that it did not finish its process. It got taken out of its process. Go to bed earlier. Even if that means you eat a little earlier, you adjust your schedule a little bit, if you wake up on your own, your body has completed what it needed to do and then wakes you up to take care of all of the bodily functions it needs. Usually you have to visit the bathroom when you first wake up. It is extraordinary what our bodies do at night. There are literally thousands of processes it does. It is cleaning our gut microbiome. It is restabilizing our gut microbiome. Your brain literally is detoxifying itself as you sleep. And all these things happen in quadrants at certain times with certain organs. Your body is brilliant. But if it didn't get enough time to finish and it's being woken up every day, you feel groggy. You may not have your thinking mind. You may not be digesting. Well, it did not get to finish its processes. That is equivalent to you sitting down and starting to do something, and then it's taken from you before you could finish. You're really, really hungry, and you sit down to eat a sandwich, and you get two bites in, and then it's taken from you before you could finish. Not getting enough sleep is compromising your healing. It is compromising your body. And what else is it compromising? Your ability to think, your ability to process. This also leads to these dimensions of burnout. So think about this. I'm out of time. I want to turn it back into the studio, but I want you to consider the word we use for burnout means a lot in the way that we just understood it, in the dimensions and as it's progressive, and as you show up in the world, how you can affect and contribute to humanity requires you first to look at how you are processing and give yourself resources to do so, to make sure that you are taking care of yourself by taking breaks, by stepping away from technology, by getting enough sleep, by drinking enough water, by not having conversations about the world while you're eating, by making sure that when you want to be effective, you are organized and have resources to do so, so that you are not in this frenetic, sympathetic response to the world all day, every day. Whether that's stopping for meditation or your hypno nap, those are awesome, awesome resources that you give to yourself. But you need to be thinking in terms of building your personal structure and maintaining that structure. Because the world is how it is, and the world is changing how it's changing. And going forward, learning to be capable and positive and graceful through it and effective to do what you came here to do requires you to take that shift and turn it around, look inward, and get really, really honest with yourself about where you're vulnerable, about what if any payoffs you're getting from that, and begin to give yourself the resources to unravel that. Because a really effective, powerful individual with a thought and an intention for the world that follows through doing their part is so, so incredible, inspiring, addictive, contagious, and it is easier to do than you think. But how you were taught is in opposition to doing that. And so it's time to change that around and to look at that in a much different way. And with that, I'll turn you back to the studio and say have a wonderful rest of your show. Thank you always and forever for inviting me into your homes and your hearts. I am so, so, so honored to be a part of this program and a part of your lives. And we'll see you next month. Bye for now.
Probably up if I turn it on. Thanks, Meg. So do you mean I can't watch the news just before I go to bed? I did learn that one a little while back. I did. I love that aspect of keeping the technology out of the bedroom and being able to do that whenever possible. That it really makes a huge difference. It really does. I have different offices I can go to right here in my place. I got different stations I can work at. I don't need the bedroom to be one of those stations. Anyway, thanks so much for that, Meg. As always, right on time and just perfect messages. We're going to bring Allison in for the astrology report. Allison has been with us here for quite some time and just doing an awesome job. So thanks, Allison, and thank you, Meg, for doing that. By the way, Meg and Allison both do private sessions, and their schedules get filled up sometimes, so keep that in mind. We will f make a place. I was always tempted to make a place where you can connect directly with them, but keep your eyes open. We'll make that happen, because I want to be able to be sure and support them as well. Anyway, here's Allison Espavo, everybody.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the astrology part of the show. And I've got my cup of tea here. Yes, it's English tea. Very nice, too. And do you know what? I think I'm just going to sit here and drink my cup of tea. I looked at the astrology and I thought, I think I'm going to give this month a miss. I'm just going to sit there and, well, do what the English do, actually. Whenever we come up against any crisis or any kind of stress, we go, let's have a cup of tea. Well, so I thought, I'm going to sit on Steve's show and have a cup of tea. And it's either that or a glass of wine, and I don't think he'd approve. English astrology goes mad drinking wine. On Steve Rother's show, I don't think so. I guess we have been used to some very high-powered astrology recently. You only have to look around the world to see that the astrology must be as mad as the world is at the moment. But what we're doing, I think, in the days and weeks to come, is we are slowly becoming exhausted, I'm going to say, if you're not already. It's the fire goes out of the sky, stage by stage by stage, until we reach the point where nearly everything in the planet, all the planets, are all stacked up in one quadrant of the sky, covering mainly Pisces and Taurus. And these are feminine signs. Both of these signs are like gravity, they pull in, they don't push out. So we don't have a lot of the frenzied, fiery activity that we've had recently. And so I think that's a flipping good time to put your feet up and get a cup of tea. Of course, we Americans and English, let's be honest, we don't really share the same taste when it comes to a choice of hot beverage, do we? Now, let's be honest. I've been over there and I've seen what you drink and call coffee, and tea. And frankly, I just stayed on water for 2 weeks. And I bet you come over here and go, what is that that they're drinking? So you'll have to go and get your equivalent of a cup of tea. I think that's what the best we can come up with. Anyway, oh well, I suppose we should do some astrology. Right, well, oh, that's lovely. Oh, it's just lovely. That's everything that the English want from a cup of tea. Right, I've got my notes here. So at the moment we've got Jupiter conjunct Neptune in Pisces, and what this can tend to do is describe a collective where we are feeling more than normal, very sympathetic and compassionate, where we can look at the news and we cry because it's just so sad. And certainly I have been affected by this in the last few weeks. And I think this astrology is quite good, actually. I think it's a good one for describing how we feel. It's just so sad. So that's still in the air, but it is leaving shortly. in about 8 days' time, only to be replaced by all these planets going into feminine signs and giving us an even greater sense of sorrow and exhaustion. But anyway, we've got some, just for the next few days, we do have a bit of excitement left before we can get the cup of tea and sit in the armchair. And this is all down to the fact that the sun is almost exactly conjunct the planet Eris at the moment. And you will remember Eris, I know, because this is the one that's full of discord and disharmony and dysfunction. And there's quite a funny story actually going on in the UK, which is very reflective of mythology. So I must tell you what it's about. So our Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been very naughty. So when he was in meetings and designing the laws that were going to stop us all from going out and enjoying ourselves and going to lock us all in our homes, it has been discovered that, actually somebody shopped them. Somebody reported them to the press and said, while you lot were all, you know, behaving yourselves and trying to stop the spread of the virus, Downing Street, that's where he lives, they were still enjoying themselves partying. So really, he kind of snitched on the Prime Minister. So the Prime Minister has been found to have attended the odd party and has been fined, actually, by the police. And I'm laughing because this is so like the mythology. So Eris's mythology, right? So she was not invited to a party to celebrate the arrival of a young princess or young goddess, a baby anyway. And so everybody else on Olympus was invited, but not Eris. And Eris was absolutely outraged by this and so spiteful that she deliberately then set up a situation that caused the war at Troy. I can't remember the length of it now, but it was very long. That was quite an issue for Greece at the time. Now, the funny thing is that Boris Johnson had an advisor called Dominic Cummins, who looks like a little bit of a weasel, if I'm honest. He was not liked, and he was trying to grab power of the Prime Minister. And so he wasn't invited to some of these parties. So he then went and, caused trouble by leaking it to the press that these parties were taking place. And all that has erupted in the last day or two, just as the sun goes conjunct Eris. So I'm thinking, gosh, sometimes these things are so literal, aren't they? It's just amazing. Here we are, you know, I wasn't invited to the party. Bosh, have that. Anyway, so here in the UK, we'll hear a bit more about that over the next few days. This particular party that they're all going on about today was actually his birthday. And he'd attended, he says, 7 meetings, and for 10 minutes, one of the staff said, let's all get round and give him a clap and a piece of cake for his birthday. Now, whether or not you disagree with this, you've just got to laugh at the circumstances with Eris and how the sky works. It's remarkable. So we go on from the Eris, the planets turn and it keeps going. And Saturn moves in and really kind of like takes Eris by the hand and says, just hold back a little here. You are causing way too much mayhem. The human race cannot cope with all the destruction and all the difficulties and all the disharmony that's happening. So I'm hoping that come the middle of April, well, actually not the middle of April, when we get into the last week in April, I'm hoping that by then Saturn is keeping a steadying control over Eris. But even if Saturn isn't doing that, and Saturn is a feminine planet, the amount of stuff moving into feminine signs is quite interesting. So on the 20th of April, we've got the Sun moving into Taurus. Mars moves into Pisces on the 15th of April. And we've got Juno moving into Pisces on the 20th of April. Now, these are all quite fiery planets, and consequently, they, because they're being plunged into water, it takes a lot of the fire and the heat out of their energy. So I think we'll notice that. If you can hear something rustling down here, it's my beagle, my new rescue beagle, who has come to see what Mum's got, and quite likes a cup of tea. So if you hear everything breaking, she's leapt up and she's smashed the tea teacup. But anyway, right. So and then yeah. So I'm catching up with myself here. In right at the end of April. Pluto, which is currently going direct, stops in the sky and goes retrograde. Now, this all by itself calms things down, because when a planet as big as Pluto goes retrograde, what it's doing, it's going back over the stuff it has already been over. So it's backpedaling and revisiting all the issues so that more thought can go into it, so that more consideration, did I do that too hastily? Did we get the best out of this situation? So Pluto was sort of like a terraforming planet. It's about evolution, and it's about the cycle of evolution and nature, which cannot be stopped. You know, it just keeps going. And so Pluto tends to dig up a lot of stuff and to generate a lot of stuff. When it goes retrograde, it's not as if it's ungenerated, but it is as if we get a second chance to put it in a better place. It can be a bit disruptive when Pluto moves forward again and goes over that ground for the third time. Then we put things to bed finally. But just for the months, and I'll advise you how many months, starting at the end of April, and this will be the whole of summer going into winter, we are backpedaling what Pluto has already uncovered. Now this coincides with a partial solar eclipse. So the sun has moved into Taurus and the moon moves round to join it in Taurus. They're both at 10 degrees of Taurus, and we get a partial solar eclipse, one of only four this year, really thin on the ground with eclipses this year. And what that generally means is when the sun is eclipsed, it means all the fire in the sky is bathed in an emotion, water or earth, right? So the water or the earth eclipses the fire of the sun. So most of the indicators or the symbolism I've talked to you so far is about reducing the fire, reducing the fire, reducing the fire. And so I looked at this and I thought, yeah, okay, I could do with this. I could do with a month where I just enjoy nature. Nature, food, luxury, the things that, you know, we treat ourselves to. These are all the things that we should be doing when the sun is in Taurus. And as I said, it moves into Taurus, on the 20th of April. And I think from then on, it is a case of don't really expect much. Don't expect massive amounts of activity. Try to tailor your life to relax a little. Now, if there is something that you urgently want done before this period comes up, then I would get on with it now, because with the sun conjunct Aries, you've got a lot of energy. And we've still got Mars in Aquarius. A lot of energy can come out of that, particularly on the techie stuff. So I think that's sort of the plan, isn't it? Let's get this. We've got a plan now. So for the next few days, we go furious, furious, furious. And then when it comes to the 20th of April, we just go, right. Well, that's it. Cheers. I'm going to sit here and have a cup of tea, and I'll have a glass of wine later. Just relax and enjoy it. And I'll see you next time. Don't forget me if you want. If you've got an issue or you something you'd like to talk through, have a reading with me, have a consultation. And I love that. We'll both have a cup of tea and I'll see what colour yours is and I'll show you what colour mine is. And I'm so funny. Not. Okay, then I'll see you next month. Lovely to talk to you. Bye.
And there we go. Well done. Thank you so much, Allison. And yes, I was drinking tea too. Not that American coffee stuff. I loved it. Actually, we've been trained rather well because Sandy Sedgebeer used to be here every month. And she trained us pretty well about the teas and the drinks and so forth. So welcome. All right. I'm going to show you one quick commercial about our event coming up, and then I'll be back with the final channel from the group where the scientist of the heart is coming in. Looking forward to it. Anyway, we'll get started here in just a minute, but in the meantime, take a look at what we're going to be coming up with, because I think this is going to be quite enjoyable for people. A spav, everybody. We'll see you in just a few minutes here. Greetings, dear ones. I happen to be the scientist of the heart. I've come through for quite some time to step back, to make space for Observer, to bring you so much information from his perspective. This day, we'd like to share with you one aspect that is taking place almost everywhere on planet Earth. You see, you have a concept about times. Oh, yes. You remember the good old days? Do you remember the good times? Do you remember the old times where you didn't have to worry about that? You would say things like, back in the day. Oh, yes, we remember that well. One challenge you have about those good old days, you never know them until they're gone. You never know that there was a good day until it's over with, and you have something to compare it to. Interesting process. Well, we'd like you to enjoy that good old day right now. Yes, as difficult as things may seem sometimes, as separated as many people may seem, the reality is you're in some excellent times on planet Earth. These are opportunities where you can all start working together and make a huge difference. You see, you've come at very unique times because you're aware that there were going to be many challenges on Earth at that time. And you wanted to be there, to hold the light, not necessarily to move in one direction or the other, but just to hold the light of home, to hold that love that supersedes everything. That's why you're here. Not necessarily to prevent something or to make something easier. You can do it out of love, or you can do it out of fear. But let's talk about that fear for just a moment, because there is quite a bit that's taking place with the fear. You see the fear playing out every day on your planet. It used to only emerge once in a great while, but now you're seeing everyday shootings. You're seeing people acting out for no apparent reason, just because they wanted to do it, just because they reached their end. Can you blame it on mental illness? Yes, but we tell you almost everybody has some form of mental illness they're dealing with, so let's wrap that one up into one. The main thing that we want to tell you about this whole process is that humans can get angry. But several things happen when they get angry like that. Number one, unless they have an outlet for it, it continues to build up. And that's when you see people acting out. So what are things that you can do during this time to help alleviate some of that? Well, there's actually several things. One of the things we're going to suggest to you is planting seeds of light. We've talked about that many times. But what about if you were to plant smiles? What if you were to plant a smile someplace where you're just walking by and you recognize another person playing the game the same way you are, and you smile at him for just a moment? Not a smirk, not a I know better than you type of thing, but simply a connection. Oh, there's another spirit playing the game. They're in a different bodysuit. They're working differently than I am, but we probably know each other from home. That is powerful. And that is one of the things that almost everybody can do at this point, is to plant those seeds of smiles, to plant that positive energy in places where people walk over it, where people go. When you're walking down a path, be aware that other people will step in your footprints and consciously leave that energy for them. Every time you reach out and touch a doorknob, you can leave light in that doorknob so that everybody else that comes up and touches it can feel that for just a moment. Will your little trail of light change the world? One heart at a time, it will. It absolutely will. And furthermore, if many of you start doing these simple techniques, they can be huge and they will help greatly. But one other aspect that we wish to bring up this day is the earth herself. You see, you're part of the earth, and she's a part of you. The whole idea of ashes to ashes, dust to dust, was actually real. Your physical bodies are made up of the earth essence. Your spirit isn't. Your spirit's straight from home, the larger aspect of all of it and the connection. But it's that blend, it's that coming together in those ways. But it's not just your spirit and your physical body, because your physical body is part of the earth. So what happens when you carry anger that builds up and builds up and builds up? Well, several things. Number one, you become controllable at that point. Yes, a very good reason for making people angry. They can be motivated. And quite often, that's what's happening. You are creator beings. And if someone touches your fear button, you will create something to stay away from that fear. So in those ways, people can use your creation machine for their creations instead of yours. And it all has to do with fear. It all has to do with anger. It all has to do with that stuff that you wrestle with so many times and can't quite settle in the body. So, one way, if you're feeling that, is to plant those seeds of light. Consciously touch the doorknobs. Consciously place something. Not to change the world, not to get people to vote a certain way or anything else. Those are your expectations. But what if everybody felt the connection of home? What if everyone could feel a little piece of that? That can make a huge difference and will. But there's also the earth connection. And that's something you're going to start to see. The earth herself is part of you. We talk all the time about you being a part of earth, but she's part of you as well. And that frustration and anger that you carry here transfers to her. She's the grounding in your life. It allows a spirit to play a game of pretending to be a human. And any negative energies that you have, she jumps up to cake. She loves to be able to transform those energies in some way. But when there's so much of it built up in so many different ways, and so many people walking around every day carrying this negative energy, not having the outlet for it, not being able to talk about it, feeling like nobody understands, and that they're really completely alone. Plant those seeds. The planting of the seeds will release that energy. And those that find those seeds and actually take them in some way, they'll have a lot to do with that as well. It's one heart at a time, you can start changing this world very slowly. Again, not to conform to your ideals, but to simply have the experience and not be separated and not be angry. That anger is being picked up by the earth. And there will be a time when she shows that. That energy is gathering right now, even. What you're looking at are the earthquakes on planet Earth right at this moment. What you're about to see here is actually the circle. You're starting to see the whole place where most of the earthquakes are. Well, this is actually fairly normal for an earthquake day, but you're liable to see quite a bit more as she has to wrestle with your anger, because she can't take the anger either. It's a negative energy. You live in a field of duality where you have positive and negative all the time. And if you lean too far to one side or the other, she has to balance your energy. You lean too far into the positive, she loves that. And the negative, she can usually take it with no problem. She takes it, gladly converts it into positive energy, sometimes even turning into oxygen. Marvelous. And yet, when you have so many starting to get so angry, does it make any difference what they're angry at? If it's real or if it's a mad, it doesn't make any difference. The heart energy of planet Earth is sucking that energy in as fast as it can. And she jumps to the surface to take your energy and to grab that and envelope it into her energies and actually into the magma that flows through her veins. She's a grand being, dear ones. Your connection is stronger than you may imagine. And it's a great time to experience that. But if you spend even just a few moments every day nurturing Mother Nature, just even admiring the beauty, that does more than you can imagine. You fill yourself with that connection, and then you take that energy in your heart and you leave that trail of light for other people. Unconditionally. Oh, yes. You see, you're creator beings. We're going to get much deeper into that. We've given you some ideas to wrestle with and to sing some things to play with. One of the greatest ideas that we've dropped on you is that when you walk into a room for the first time, there's no room there. The atoms jump into place just before you walk into the room. Once you ground it, once you see it, it stays there. It'll be there the next time you walk into the room. But you're creating much more than you could possibly imagine. And one of the first ideas of increasing your creative ability is to take responsibility for what is in front of you. Even if it's a global problem, even if it's your own anger that you may be dealing with or frustrations that are starting to build, take responsibility for it. Because every time you take responsibility for your creations improve. Everything takes a step up at that point. These are magical times to be here on the planet, dear one. Your space has been reserved. Everyone was waiting. Everything is now in place. Oh yes, it's still in motion and will be for some time. But there's important connections that are now starting to unfold. You start to see things from a different perspective, and that is the time to release that anger, to let go of those frustrations, all those crinkly lines. You've got a big torus that's running around with all these beautiful circles and lines. And every time you have a problem somewhere, or an energy difficulty, or you get hurt or angry, it crinkles those lines as it goes through your heart. And then the lines on the outside, the crinkly lines on the outside, create more problems for you to deal with, because they always bring you back what you're sending out to the universe. So to work consciously, to release that energy, to plant those seeds, to know that you're leaving a trail every footstep, every time you touch something, every time you smile at someone. Plant those seeds of smiles and enjoy this journey, dear ones. Know that you are here on purpose and you made it just in time. Well done, dear ones. Much more is coming as the Earth absorbs this energy. She's working with her own challenges, of course, at this very moment. But you're part of her graciousness. You're part of the larger connections of who she really is. You are the best of planet Earth. Take a breath, dear ones, and know that you're never alone. The connections are here. Your light is alive and well. Do not get wrapped up in all the things going on planet Earth. Step back. Step into the light and carry it forward with you every step of the way. It is with the greatest of honor that we ask you to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another at every possibility and know you're playing a new game. Play well together. You're all from home, and we see you. I am the scientist of the heart, and I love you dearly. This is the science of love. So plant the seeds of light. Plant those seeds of a smile. Aspavo, dear.